Welcome back to Insight Music on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Imagine not liking anything you create for 4 years. That's exactly what songwriter Jordan Irvin Daly has struggled with. He sat down recently with Hey Listen host Nick Bruner to talk about the relief of finally breaking through it, about his return to the Sacramento music scene, and he performs songs from his EP 19.
My name is Jordan Irvin Daly. I'm kind of from nowhere. Kind of moved around enough to not really claim a place. Originally from Illinois, I guess.
Both from Illinois.
Yeah.
Remind me, what part of Illinois are you from?
Born in Springfield. Lived in Rochester for the first 9 years of my life. Yeah. My parents both just, we kept moving west. We moved from Illinois to Colorado to Denver and then out to Sacramento. And just kind of kept going.
What was that like for you as a kid moving around as frequently as you did?
I think I became a little desensitized to it.
Really?
I think I learned to kind of enjoy the newness of places.
Do you still feel that today in your adult life?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I intentionally moved back to Sacramento about 2 years ago. I lived kind of in the Bay for a minute and then Los Angeles for about 7 years. And then came back from splitting my time between Pasadena and Long Beach. Honestly, I kind of got bored with Los Angeles.
Really? Tell me why.
A lot of people love or hate Los Angeles, and I kind of enjoyed it for what it had to offer. And at a certain point, I just wanted to come back to Sac, and I had some friends up here, and I like the musicians up here a little bit more. I'm not trying to hate on anybody, but yeah. I went through a bit of writer's block, and when I say writer's block, it doesn't mean that I stopped writing. It was just that I didn't like anything that I was writing.
Tell me about how it feels to come out of writer's block, because I can only imagine how frustrating that is.
Just complete relief. Like, yeah, it was incredibly frustrating. That's the best way to say it. It's just like just emotional blocking. Because a lot of the ways that I process my feelings and understanding about things is hearing my songs back. You know, I'll write something, and then 3 months later, I'm like, oh, that's how I was feeling. You know, you look back at it, and something that you just sang because you felt it, and then you realize that's what you were going through, or that's what you were dealing with at the time.
But in the moment, couldn't really recognize it?
You don't always recognize it.
Oh, man.
But then it's a sort of therapy to hear it back.
Do you have a sense of how long you were struggling with writer's block?
So I was in LA for about 7 years. I would say it was the last, like, 4 years of that.
Oh, wow.
I have about three albums worth of demos sitting on my computer. A lot of that comes from transitioning out of working with a manager and talking to labels that I was talking to and not getting the response that I wanted. So I think maybe the music's fine. Maybe it was just the situation that was messed up.
Do you feel like you could release that material on your own?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to go back into it organically. I wouldn't want to force just re-recording and releasing it for the sake of doing it. But if I listened back and heard one of those songs and was just inspired to do it again, yeah.
Blue, gray eyes, so, oh, why? You can see the coming without the light. Dim in the dark to live without sight. Shut up in the house. No way out. Dreaming of a life unlived. The colors always haunting. Try
So now you've played in a couple different projects in and around Sacramento over the years. Mm-hmm. Is this your first time putting out work as a solo act?
No, I've been playing music and performing for 16 years now.
Okay.
Somebody asked me that the other day and I had to think about it. When I first got into music, I've heard of it described as the Back to the Future moment where, you know, he gets on stage and he does the ripping solo.
Uh-huh.
Like that's how a lot of guitar players get into it. And I didn't really get into that. I just wanted to start recording and making music myself. Since the time I started playing guitar is when I started recording and releasing stuff. And yeah.
Give me a little history about that too. Were you just recording like as so many musicians do? Did you start like in a bedroom and then work your way into studio? Or do you even mess with studio now? What's your preferred method of recording?
Well, first started with the Windows Sound Recorder app. That's
really?
That's the very beginning. Then Audacity. Then GarageBand. And when I was in Los Angeles, I tried the studio stuff and I had a hard time not producing myself because I realized once again that was my initial interest in music, was just not just writing the song, it was creating the environment around the song. So I've gone bedroom to studio, back to the bedroom house idea. Like the most recent EP I released, all recorded in my house.
Yeah. So you prefer to produce yourself then, it sounds like?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy controlling every aspect of it, I guess.
Was there any time that you did work with a producer, were you surprised or excited by something that they brought to your recordings?
Yes.
I shouldn't ask yes, no questions.
No, the couple times I did, I was, I just felt so new to the process that having someone kind of hold a mirror up to you, mm-hmm. and was just like, oh, okay, I see what I'm doing there. Do I like it? You know, I think that's what it came down to. It wasn't that I didn't like the work that happened in the studio. It was that I just saw a certain reflection and I was like, that's not what I'm going for, I guess. Yeah.
How fastidious are you with your own work? Do you still have those Windows Sound Recorder files laying around someplace in a hard drive?
I have a lot of old stuff. I've broken too many computers by spilling things on them and such and the like. So I've lost a few things, but I still have what I consider my first recording, which was in Audacity. I still have it. It's like a 4-minute sort of instrumental ambient track, and I will never release it. It will always be something nostalgic to me that I can only hear.
Sure.
But yeah, I do. I definitely keep things. Anytime I release things, I always keep a physical copy of it for myself. And yeah.
I don't know why. You just strike me as an organized. You have like an organized vibe about you.
I'm organized. I'm messy, but organized. Like I couldn't explain where it is in my room, but I know where it is off the top of my head. I know exactly where my notebooks are with the stack of notebooks from years and years ago. I know exactly where that is right now. And I know exactly where, I don't know, photographs are, but it looks like a mess. I don't know. I think it's just valuing the nostalgia of it. I mean, I write songs. I'm kind of a sucker for that stuff, you know?
said something stupid again. Upset my only friend. Is it enough to say I'm sorry? How many times can you f*** up before it's just who you are?
I'm so used to meeting people from this region who consider Sacramento a small town, i.e. boring in and of itself, and that's why they want to go LA, that's why they want to go Brooklyn, that's why they want to go Chicago, wherever.
And I feel like that's part of the reason why Sacramento's music scene specifically is a little bit self-sabotaging. A lot of the bigger musicians find an opportunity to leave and they take it to go to the Bay or, you know, Los Angeles or something. When in fact, if people would just kind of double down and reinvest in Sacramento, it would be more interesting. You know, it wouldn't be this sort of small town vibe.
I've talked to a lot of people about the Sacramento scene and just get more and more interesting and varied takes on what, if anything, it is. So how has it changed, or how has it evolved, or how have you seen the Sacramento scene act in your time here?
Well, that's really interesting too, because I moved here when I was 16, was playing in a band called Brother with I'll give him a shout out, Nick Cowman, who plays in Religious Girls out in the Bay. Yeah, so he and I were doing a two-piece for a while, and we were playing house shows and playing with Pregnant and Sister Crayon, now Rituals of Mine, mm-hmm. when that project very first started, you know, just Tara and a guitar. We had a house on Ian 13th, house in the alley, and would just have shows and have people play. Because underage, you know, you just have to make your own party, you know, can't play the venues. Me and my friends were kind of creating this kind of a scene in a way.
Now, so if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
I am 30 as of this year.
Oh, 30 as of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on the all ages scene in Sacramento right now?
It's hard. A lot of the places I used to play, like Luigi's Fun Garden, are shut down. And I don't know. It's different because I was playing in a band last year. My friend, that was kind of his goal in booking, was booking all ages shows. That was something he wanted to do specifically. I think there's always options. I always kind of look back and I'm kind of glad that there were age limits at shows, because it forced us to do something different. It forced us to work harder at finding a place to play and work, you know, I don't know, throw shows.
That's interesting. But what was the reason you felt like you had to step up?
Because there weren't options. Mm-hmm. I felt like there weren't as many options. If that, I don't know. but I kind of enjoyed the challenge of it, because it's always a challenge. I think it's still a challenge, even if there are opportunities today. It's still going to be a challenge for the underage crowd to find their place. But it's the energy of being that young to push through and find the place.
Fingertips, here in my place, I'm into this. Everything I think I thought I knew, every thought I
When it comes to the work of setting up a European tour, I mean, that sounds like a lot. How do you decide now's the time, who's going with, and where you're going?
It's a good question. So when I was 20, I was releasing music on MySpace and got an email from a Parisian label that just said, hey, if you're ever over here, we'd love to book some shows for you. So I was like, okay, cool. And then, you know, then I at Sierra College, they were offering a study abroad trip to Madrid and offering like help with getting student loans to do it. So I was like, I don't really want to go to school, but I'll take this as an opportunity to get to Europe and play and release an album. And so I kind of used Sierra College for that reason. But yeah, got to go over there. And so I've had kind of roots over there for a while, and I have a lot of friends. And so they're always inviting me back to come hang out, and I just kind of want to go. So you kind of make it happen. You put out feelers, you ask for help, you look up local venues and send them an email. Yeah.
Well, I hope Sierra College looks this as a good thing and, you know, is a way of encouraging a young artist in his craft.
Right.
Yeah. It's an education.
Yeah.
This was great. Thank you so much for making the time to come out and share a lot of this music.
Yeah.
Good luck, man. Come back soon.
Thank you. Absolutely.
That's songwriter Jordan Irvin Daly in conversation with Nick Bruner. The new record is called EP19. There's a longer version of that interview with more music and performance videos. You can find it all at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight Music on your NPR station, Cap Radio.